on this episode of Optimal Health Uncovered.
In terms of Ozempic, clients have gone on it and they have lost weight. And a lot of them that work with me, they're doing so, but at the same time, they're also learning a lifestyle. So yes, they're losing weight from the drug itself, but they're also learning longevity. And that is my thought process on Ozempic in terms of, okay, yes, we're going to use this drug to help you lose weight and maybe create motivation, but you also need to learn longevity and lifestyle.
Welcome everyone to Optimal Health Uncovered. I'm Brendan Copley, a personal trainer here at Performance. And today I'm here with Ashley Jerry, our nutritionist. Welcome, Ashley.
Thank you so much for having me. So today we're diving into the world of GLP-1 agonists. We're going to talk about the most common questions we get asked about them and what they are. So for those of you who don't know, GLP-1 agonists are the same weight loss drugs you've been hearing about, such as Ozempic, Wegovy, and Mounjaro. Brendan, do you want to go into more about how they work?
Sure. So GLP-1 agonists, or glucagon-like peptide 1, these are agonist medications that work by mimicking the natural action of a hormone called GLP-1. And here's how they function. So you can break it down into four different pieces. The first is that they stimulate an insulin release. So GLP-1 agonists enhance insulin secretion from the pancreas in response to elevated blood sugar levels. This helps to regulate blood glucose levels, particularly after meals. Secondly, they suppress glucagon release. So glucagon is a hormone that raises your blood sugar levels by promoting the release of your stored glucose from the liver. GLP-1 agonists inhibit the release of glucagon. Therefore, they reduce blood sugar levels. The third is that they slow your gastric emptying. So GLP-1 agonists slow down the rate at which your food moves through the stomach and into the intestines. So this delayed gastric emptying essentially helps control appetite and promotes a feeling of fullness, which can aid in weight loss. And the last part is the effects on the central nervous system. So GLP-1 agonists may also act and impact the brain to reduce food intake and increase satiety, which naturally then further contributes to weight loss.
Awesome. Thanks for that description. So I'm just going to say it in a little simpler form in terms of what it actually does in the body so that it's better to understand. So in terms of the pancreas, what it does is it promotes insulin. So that's going to help decrease your blood sugar levels. And then in terms of the stomach, it helps to slow down gastric emptying, like you said, but that's just going to give us the feeling of being full, and it's going to lessen the amount of times we need to eat a day or the amount of food. And then the brain, it suppresses hunger cravings. So all of this is a hormone that we all already have in our body. All this drug is doing is increasing the effects.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So just to delve into that a little bit deeper, do you mind just describing what these drugs are initially designed to do? So for example, were they designed more for diabetes? Were they designed for non-diabetes? Do you mind just talking about that a little bit more?
Sure, yeah. So originally these drugs were made for type 2 diabetics. And what they found was not only did it lower their blood sugar levels, but also promoted weight loss. So this is how it became kind of part of the obesity epidemic. So now we found this drug that can help promote weight loss. And in terms of making it for the general public, that's kind of what they've created with this drug.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let's go into a little bit more specifically what your experience has been with working with clients that are on this medication. Do you want to go over what some of the just general positive experiences have been and then what some of the negative experiences have been with it?
Sure. So there's definitely a broad spectrum of this. I've definitely had clients who have been successful with the drug, as well as clients who have had side effects or just a general feeling that they didn't like about the drug, and so they stopped it. But we'll go into the positive ones first. I've had a lot of clients who have type 2 diabetes and really tried to lose weight kind of with diet and exercise alone, and it really didn't work for them, whether it's just genetics or whatever factor it was. I also have clients who just couldn't lose weight because they just wouldn't dedicate to doing so.
Naturally. Yeah.
It happens. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with genetics. A lot of it has to do with just lifestyle or culture, all these different things. So in terms of Ozempic, clients have gone on it and they have lost weight. And a lot of them that work with me, they're doing so, but at the same time, they're also learning a lifestyle. So yes, they're losing weight from the drug itself, but they're also learning longevity. And that is my thought process on Ozempic in terms of, okay, yes, we're going to use this drug to help you lose weight and maybe create motivation, but you also need to learn longevity and lifestyle. Ozempic and drugs like Ozempic are supposed to be on long-term. So if somebody goes on it to lose weight and then goes off of it, typically the studies show the weight does come back. So that's something to think of when you are thinking about going on this drug. But in terms of health and type 2 diabetes, studies do show that it helps decrease blood sugar levels. And so those clients specifically have seen really great results in terms of weight loss and also lowering their blood sugar levels. And then on the other end of that, the clients that have had side effects. So for example, one client had acid reflux before she went on it. I had helped her relieve that. And then she went on Ozempic separately and her symptoms came back even worse. So now it's something that we are working on together. She did lose weight from Ozempic. So in that aspect, it was successful. But on the other aspect, she is experiencing side effects that maybe are not so nice for the everyday living.
Yep.
I've also had a client who just felt mentally off. So she was on it and she maybe lost 5 pounds, but after that, her mental state was not in a good place. She couldn't be a good mother because of it. She kind of spiraled. So she realized that that was the only thing that she changed. And so she went off of it and those symptoms went away. So it's definitely something to consider when you are thinking about going on a weight loss drug of what are the symptoms that can happen. And a lot of those symptoms can be stomach issues, nausea, vomiting, et cetera.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense. Thanks for breaking that down. And I guess to go off some of the negative aspects of some of those symptoms that you're mentioning in the second part of that, do you have any concerns with the rapid increase in utilization, or do you feel like it's being appropriately managed? Just touch a little bit on just, okay, this is increasing so fast. What are your thoughts in general?
I have a multifactorial thought process on this. I think that on one end, the obesity epidemic is huge. It is, I think, about 42% of America are obese. So that's something that in the health field and health industry, we want to think about it. It's something that we want to solve. So taking a weight loss medication that is based upon a hormone we do have in our body is positive, right? We just have to think of how it's being used. So first, we want to think of the first line in terms of type 2 diabetics. It's the most important for them when they have not only type 2 diabetes, but also obesity. And then we want to think of the next line. Okay, so people who are just obese, if they tried all other outlets in terms of diet, exercise, things like that, lifestyle changes, and they aren't seeing results, sure, in a doctor's presence, I think that it is okay to try this drug and hopefully it works for them. In terms of the general public and what we look like, I think that people who are obese should think about using the drug. People who just want general weight loss, who only have a few pounds to lose, I don't think it's the best use of the drug. And I think it's become such a widespread popularity in terms of availability. So now med spas have it. Another like vitamin store I saw is now having it. So those are things we want to think of. Are people using this in the proper way?
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. So you talked in your client-based scenarios on just how people are weaning off. Do you mind going into a little bit greater depth of what is the research currently saying of how are people going off successfully from this medication? And just delve into that a little bit further.
Yeah. So in terms of the drug itself, when you do go on it, the doctor is going to prescribe a taper up. So that means getting to the dosage that is necessary for you individually. And the same thing would go for tapering down or coming off of the drug itself. We want to think of lifestyle changes and modifications, and that includes making sure that you're following a proper diet, making sure that you are getting movement, and personal training and weight training is a huge part of that. Maybe Brendan, you can tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, definitely. So I think you can break down exercise into a variety of different concepts. So you have more of your strength and conditioning, you have more of your cardiovascular training, and then you have your mobility training. So I would say each of those plays its role, but exercise as a whole is just incredibly important in order to, one, be more effective in how your body is actually utilizing insulin. And then two, I think it really helps mitigate some of the negative side effects of being on one of the medications. So from a side effect standpoint, you're really going to help increase your muscle mass by being a part of a strength and conditioning program. And then also from a bone density standpoint, just having the impact of weight-bearing exercises in general is really going to help mitigate that aspect of it as well.
And let's just talk about, you've been doing this for a long time. So in general, before Ozempic and all these weight loss drugs came, if you had a client come in and they wanted to lose weight, what set them up for success?
Yeah, definitely. So I think, well, one, being able to fully evaluate where they currently were at. So being able to look at where their current range of motion is, what their current level of exercise was before they even started, and then being able to create a plan that's based off of that, that is really specific to their needs as an individual. For example, if you were to give someone who had never exercised before the most intense workout where they're squatting 400 pounds, they're going to get injured immediately. So being able to curtail it towards them and their specific mobility or injury incident history before actually getting them started. And then being really objective about how many days per week they need to be going and, you know, what the intensities, how long they're doing it, things like that. The more specific their actual recommendations are, the more accountable they can be towards those specific goals that you've laid out for them.
And the more success.
And the more success, yes.
We love that.
Yeah, so I think in my last comment there, I was mentioning bone density specifically and being able to maintain muscle mass and things along those lines. Would you be able to touch a little bit more specifically on how nutrition could target some of those and how that also assists in the process of supporting someone that's on GLP-1 agonists?
Yes, definitely. So diving more into the nutrition aspect of somebody who is on Ozempic or thinking about it, bone density, right? So we need to make sure, especially if you're on Ozempic, your body is not absorbing as many nutrients as, say, you would if you had a full diet, right? Ozempic is lowering your intake because your hunger cues, right? So you're essentially eating less, which is causing the weight loss. So what we want to think about is, okay, if I'm eating less, that means that I am getting less nutrients. So we want to make sure that you are getting the proper amount of protein, the proper amount of vitamins and minerals. So that includes fruits and vegetables. And we want to think of calcium. We want to think of magnesium. We want to think of vitamin D from sunshine. These are all important aspects of bone health. And when we are on Ozempic, that can lead to bone density decrease. So it's really important to make sure you're talking to a nutritionist or dietitian to have guidelines of what are the nutrients I need and am I getting them from my current diet.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense. And then from a diet stance, if you weren't taking the medication, what are some other alternatives to trying to work with a nutritionist to decrease somebody's weight or work towards decreasing or improving their insulin response if they have diabetes? What are some ways to mitigate that without even going on the medication?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think in terms of the general public, we want to think of what access do they have, what knowledge do they have, and how can somebody help them? So guidance in terms of nutrition is important, right? We need to know exactly what your body needs. So in terms of what I do, it's very individualized. So I'm going to look at your overall energy expenditure in a day. I'm going to look at how much weight you do have to lose and what your lifestyle is like. Do you have high stress? How is your sleep? How's your water intake? These are all important aspects of lifestyle and also longevity. So in terms of weight loss, we want to think of making sure you're getting enough protein. That leads to satiation within itself. And then making sure you're getting enough vitamins and minerals. I remember a long time ago when juice cleanses were popular. I would go on a juice cleanse and I would feel full. But why? Because I was getting the vitamins and minerals I needed. Of course, I wasn't getting the protein and carbohydrates that I needed, but it's just the knowledge of knowing what vitamins and minerals you need, what protein, what carbs, what fats you need in your body. Fats are important, especially for women, for hormone balance. So if you're on Ozempic and you're not getting enough fats, that can affect your hormone levels within itself, which can create a lot of other issues. So these are all things that we really need to think about. And that's why if you are going to go on Ozempic, it's really important to talk to a nutritionist, talk to a trainer of creating a plan for you that's individualized and going to create more success. I was reading something the other day and it was a woman who was on Ozempic. She had type 2 diabetes. She was obese. And she was saying she doesn't think she would have seen the success as much as she did if she wasn't on a nutrition program along with exercise. So to her, she had tried all these different things and nothing worked. But going on Ozempic kind of gave her a jump start, and also following a nutrition plan and exercising, it really changed the outcome for her. So I think it's really valid to think about that.
Yeah, definitely. I can echo similar thoughts of just working with a care provider, and especially working with, you know, more of a holistic team and an optimal health team. So starting with the doctor and then having that trickle down and having like a really good communication channel between all of the people that are involved really leads to the biggest success stories that I've seen with my own clients for either their weight loss journey or just their health journey and as a whole. I think a lot of times when people go into this situation, they're going into it with a lot of habits that they've been working through for a while and a lot of just emotional response towards, you know, they want that quick fix of being able improve whatever it is, whether it's their weight, whether it's their overall health. So I think having a care team helps really break down what's the most specific things that they need to focus on and help work through that emotional response too of like, hey, I understand this is your goal and we're here to help you get to that goal. And here's how you can do it so that they don't have that emotion and then feel like, okay, I'm going to, you know, go run 10 miles to try to, you know, lose this weight. Well, no, that's going to get you injured. So here's the actual step-by-step process to get you there.
Yeah. You made a really great point about emotion. Like, to me, food, nutrition, exercise, it is fully surrounded by emotion. So it is very hard for somebody to commit to a plan without accountability. And that's where I really think that even in the doctor's offices, they should connect with dietitians and gyms and personal trainers and places like Performance Optimal Health, because we are creating that whole picture, the whole story. It's not about just going on a weight loss medication for the rest of your life. It's not sustainable, right? So we want to think of, like I've said, lifestyle, longevity, and it is very emotional. So having people there in your corner is a part of the process.
Yeah, I completely hear you. Any thoughts on just additional resources that if somebody wanted to learn more about nutrition, I can definitely touch a little bit more on just how they would learn more about personal training or just exercise, just some good resources. But do you have anything from your end on learning more about nutrition or GLP-1 agonists as a whole?
Sure. I think online, in terms of like government websites, it is really important to think of like my plate. What is your plate supposed to look like? It's supposed to have a certain amount of protein, certain amount of vegetables, certain amount of carbohydrates, and of course, fruit. And then having a better understanding of what each thing is. So what is a carbohydrate? What is a protein? Learning those things are what is going to give you the skill to create healthy habits in your diet. And the most researched quote unquote diet is the Mediterranean diet. So that is including nuts, seeds, fruits, vegetables, grains, and protein.
Yeah, awesome. And I'll go into a little bit more specifically on the exercise side of things. I didn't get a chance to talk on it yet, but I definitely want to delve into it. So if somebody has never exercised before, I touched on it at least a little bit initially. So you have your mobility, you have your cardiovascular health, and then you have more of your strength and conditioning training. Just so people have a general outline of if they're looking to get into exercise, here's kind of a general framework that they can use. Trying to have strength training 2 to 3 times a week, with maybe 20 to 30 minutes of strength training, starting with body weight movements and then progressing up from there to light weights. If they've never done any sort of strength training before, from a cardiovascular standpoint, trying to have 2 to 3 days of zone 2 cardio, which is just very, very light intensity cardiovascular, work, which could be either a light walk, either going on a stationary bike or the elliptical, and then some sort of mobility training. This ideally is even 5 minutes every day, but could be built into the program of 1 to 2 times a week at about 30 minutes per session, trying to delve into kind of your classic tight spots. So your hip flexors, your glutes, your low back, and kind of your pecs and the things that keep you in that less rounded position, basically. So that would be the general overview, but there's definitely a lot of websites and resources online that give the tidbits of information. But I think it's really important to have somebody that's working on an individual basis as well that can look at your mobility restrictions and look at your strength restrictions and come up with a plan specific to you.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I also think another really important point is that another side effect of Ozempic or one of these weight loss drugs is loss of muscle mass. So our job is to make sure you're eating right and making sure that you're training properly to avoid that as much as possible. Would you agree?
Yep, I completely agree. So do you have any other kind of last minute thoughts or questions or things that you want to bring up before we wrap here?
Yeah, I think it's important to really hone in on the aspect of accountability and educating yourself. So whoever you're getting this drug from, whether it's a doctor, whether it's a med spa, making sure that you are advocating for yourself in terms of doing the research, understanding every aspect of it. So going on it, coming off of it, the emotional response, the physiological response, how your body is going to respond if you do stop taking this. Say that you go on it, you have a side effect, you did lose weight, but now you have this side effect that you really don't want to live with long term. What are you going to do when you're coming off of this? All of these side effects can happen in terms of what the drug is doing. So you might experience weight gain, you might experience higher stress levels, your blood sugar levels might spike. So all these, you just need to educate yourself on what that looks like.
Yep, that makes sense.
I also just want to point out something that I always think about in terms of how I work with my clients, which means I think of longevity, as I've said 1,000 times. So when I think about certain nutrition protocols, I think of, say, the ketogenic diet or all these old ones like the Atkins diet. These are things that people follow short term, and yes, they might lose weight in that short amount of time. And normally when you lose weight very fast, it's not sustainable. So for somebody who is not on Ozempic for diabetic reasons, and they really are just using it as a weight loss tool, I want you to think of it just as that, a tool, right? So go on it, lose weight, but have something else in the back burner of, okay, what am I going to do next? Or talking to a nutritionist and having a plan set out. And that is the same thing with training, making sure, like I've said, you have a plan set out. Because think about a ketogenic diet. You're going on it, you're losing a ton of weight, but then you're going back to eating all of these carbs and the weight comes back on. So that's what we want to avoid. We want it to really be a tool that's utilized for positive, healthy futures.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I very much think that the way to be sustainable with this and the way to really have it be something that's a success story is working collaboratively with a team, being led by the doctors and then transmitted down to the rest of the care team there. And then with an undertow of your own advocacy intermingled through all of that. So,
and performance optimal
health. And performance optimal health, of course. All right, everyone, that is all that we have for today. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Ashley, for coming on board with us.
Thank you for having me.
And this has been Optimal Health Uncovered.